ask questions like, what can I do to help you restore your dignity of work? What can I do to help you to put, to contribute your skills into the society?
Leader!
Fearless, driven.
Willpower.
Hello to all the women out there. My name is Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of Wempower, a media platform based in London that wants to give voice to all the ordinary women that are working to empower others, helping to create a society that is more inclusive and powerful. Women that look and sound like you and that are leading by example. Wempower wants to change the narrative and bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories. We are not alone. We are a tribe of empowered women, and we will change the world together, one story at a time. If you have heard our previous episode, you know that Eche Makarcha is the founder of We For Women, a virtual hive created with the aim of empowering migrants and refugees women in Ireland through training, mentoring, and workshops. What you don't know is that after our interview, she introduced me to our next guest, Rosemary Kunene, founder of Dignity Partnership, a social enterprise that aims at providing self-employment support services for refugees and asylum seekers. What HM and Rosemary have in common? They are women, migrants, and they want to change the narrative on migrants and refugees, offering them the opportunity to restore their dignity by entering the Irish labor market and using their skills and knowledge to actively be part of the society. And now, let me introduce you to Rosemary. Welcome, Rosemary, to this episode of Wempower Podcast, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Ilaria, for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I hope you're doing great in this COVID and lockdown situation in Ireland. I hope it's not very harsh like it is here in the UK with us.
I would say being in the lockdown is a bit harsh, but what can we do? We just have to be grateful for each and every day as it passes. So we just have to stay indoors and keep safe.
And keep safe, exactly. With no further ado, I will let you to introduce you a bit to the audience that is listening to us today. So just a brief introduction of who is Rosemary.
Okay, who is Rosemary? So Rosemary is a communist activist and a social entrepreneur. I am based here in Ireland, and I'm from Swaziland and Malawi. I say two countries because Malawi is my country of birth, and I'm Swazi by citizenship. And currently I'm leading a social enterprise called Dignity Partnership, where we support people in to integrate into the society through entrepreneurship skills. And I'm also a mother of three.
The first question I have for you is, I know that shortly after you arrived in Ireland, you started volunteering with the Syrian Refugees Resettlement Program with DORAS. What did you learn from this experience, and how it inspired you as well for your future decision as well to open a Dignity Partnership?
Well, I would actually say I learned a lot. But however, I like to talk about what I benefited as being part of the volunteering team for this resettlement program. I feel like it strengthened my resilience and my communication skills. And also it was a link for me to connect with the wider community. And I actually started seeing life in a different angle by dealing with the people coming from Syria. And the other thing is, like, the staff at DORAS, they were so amazing. They were welcoming. And it's like, it's a place that I felt like I'm being valued as a human being. And actually, that's where I developed my love for community development work.
That's really good. And why did you feel the need to create the Dignity Partnership? And which are the services that you offer?
Well, so I don't know if you know, like prior to 2018, people living in direct provision, they did not have the access to the labor market. Mm-hmm. So when the rights to work was introduced in 2018, I was in the process as well, but I was not eligible to access the labor market as my case was at the appeal section. So I observed people wanting to set up their own businesses, but they did not have any support. And at that particular time, I was studying with Ankosan. I was doing my degree in community development and addiction studies. So most of my projects, they were based on migrants. So I started working on how can I help the people who want to set up their businesses, because I noticed there was a lot of talent and skills that are just going to waste. So I thought there should be a way of empowering people to contribute significantly into the community, and also it would help to change the negative stereotyping of from other people who. Some people, they have this negative stereotyping of people living in direct provision. And this is all because people are not given that opportunity to come out and show their skills. So what we do with a Dignity Partnership, we have our programs, which are divided into three. So the first one is Self-Innovation Academy. This program is aimed to guide and the participants towards self-employment and any personal development programs that they need. And then we have Begin, Become, 1-2-1. And this is basically a coaching session for those who have their business ideas and they are ready to set off. So we help them in starting off their businesses. And then we also have the third one, which is Entrepreneurs Academy. So this is just to create entrepreneurial competence into the people that we support, and also a space to incubate new business ideas.
Amazing. And how is the Dignity Partnership supporting itself? Do you have any sponsorship or partnership with other organizations?
So at the moment, we apply for the different community fundings that come about. So we take that opportunity. But I would also say our main supporter, the people who have taken us off the ground, is the Social Entrepreneurs Island. So myself, I was on the Academy of for the Social Entrepreneurs in 2019. I was on the Idea Academy, and they actually gave me all the support and the need for me to start off a Dignity Partnership. And last year I was in the Action Lab, and we were given another seed fund to progress on the work that we're doing. So yeah, I would say we get a lot of support from the Social Entrepreneurs Island, and also we apply for the different community funding that comes about.
And are there other people are working with you in Dignity Partnership, and how many refugees you are working with at the moment?
Oh gosh, I would say, okay, we have a board. We have a board that is a board of directors, which is about, we have about 8 board members. And then we have the volunteers who are our implementation team. And we have about 20 volunteers. And I would say out of that 20, maybe only 4 are just ordinary migrants. And the rest are either residents in direct provision or former residents of direct provision. And then when you talk of the other people that we work with, like we work nationwide, and we have a membership on our WhatsApp group of about 155 members. Wow. So yeah.
And let's talk about a bit the situation of direct provision system in Ireland. So according to your experience as well in direct provision, do you think that we will see the end of the direct provision by 2023? And what will be the future look like for asylum seekers and refugees in Ireland?
Well, I don't know. This is just, in my opinion, I don't see the end to direct provision in 2023. I see there's a lot of lobbying that is happening, but I don't see the political will. Like, I don't mean to be negative, but direct provision is not ending anytime soon. There might be some changes and probably maybe some improved living standards compared to the previous ones. But however, I don't see resident having the full sense of autonomy or resident being treated a bit fairly. Because now residents in direct provision are mostly treated as second-class citizens who cannot even make up their own decisions. Decisions are made for them. So, like, we'll look at the right to work. It was introduced in 2018, and now it's close to 3 years, and not everyone is benefiting from this right to work. I mean, people, there are some barriers that are stopping people from getting access to work, and some, one of it, it might be the living in isolated places, and people are not even allowed to have driver's license, so they cannot drive. So if someone gets a job in a certain area where they require to drive there, and they're not given the permission to drive, how do you expect that person to work?
Of course.
So even some of those who are eligible, I mean, who were not eligible like prior to 2018, they're still not eligible up to now. So like you look at someone who's been destroyed by the long stay indirect provision, not having access to work, and then another one has just come fairly, just fairly new in the system and is permitted to do work. So there's a lot that has to be done.
And again, according to your experience, do you think that the perception of Irish people and people in general of who is living in direct provision has changed in the last years? Or there is still work to do on that side as well?
In fairness, again, in my own opinion, I think the perception has changed, because I would be wrong to say it has not changed, as I have received a lot of support from the Irish community. There is more that needs to be done. There is more like of acceptance from the Irish community. There's more of that, but still I can see there's some changes.
Okay. At least this is a little and small improvement for the future, and the hope that we can even move further, no?
Yeah, there is a hope. And the other thing is, like, you know, some people, they were not knowledgeable of all these direct provision centers. Some people didn't even have ideas of what is going on in the different centers and why people are living there. So at least now there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of lobbying. Like, you know, we have the movement of asylum seekers in mm-hmm. Ireland, which is doing an amazing work to let the communities, let the Irish communities know about the situation of people in direct provision and what is happening.
That's good. It's a very complicated field, and it's very complicated sometimes to explain to people that they don't share the same experience what is really look like, you know, the situation, and to raise awareness on how these centers look like and what is the life inside, you know, and how people can get out of this situation and just help the community, help themselves, and just live again a normal life. To raise awareness, to continue the lobbying, and continue all the hard work you're doing, because it's sometimes there is these stereotypes are really damaging everything. So it's important to break them.
Yeah.
And, how did COVID impact the life of migrants and also the job that you are doing with the Dignity Partnership?
Well, I think like everyone else, COVID has really had an impact on every individual, I would say, at this point in time. And it's been hard for everyone, especially for people who are living in direct provision, because, you know, people are just stuck in their rooms, and you find some, maybe their families with their children, and they're all spending time in their rooms, doing homeschooling in their rooms. So there's all this loneliness that's happening, and people losing their loved ones, maybe from their countries of origin, and they're not even able to have a phone call, or, you know, so it's been hard for everyone. And for us as Dignity Partnership, we had to go back on our drawing board and see how can we continue to provide support and our services. Although we're not doing them as we would like to, as I said, our work is to integrate people into the community through entrepreneurship and self-employment. And now it's just hard to even start off. But we do provide support, especially to those who are looking to starting their self-employment online. Mm-hmm. Want to start their business online, so we try to help them register and have a look at what is it that they need. And also we're doing a lot of confidence building and wellness thing, yeah, like for people to how to look after themselves and mental health care all those kind of things are the ones that we are kind of like focusing on now, so that people are ready once all this is gone, people, they still have the strength and the courage to continue with life.
If you are a migrant and you live in Ireland and you need support, the Migrant Rights Centre Ireland might be able to help. For more information, go to mrci.ie. You can also contact NASC, NASC, that works with migrants and refugees to advocate and lead for change within Ireland's immigration and protection system. Find more information at nascireland.org. The Irish Refugee Council provides services and support for people seeking protection and people recognized as refugees in Ireland. Rosemary is an Irish Refugee Council Education Fund ambassador, and as you can hear from her testimony, the Irish Refugee Council helped her and support her. Are you a migrant woman and are you looking for training and workshop opportunities to build up your knowledge and skills and enter the labor market? Even if you are not in Ireland, you can join HMIVE at We For Women and access for free all the courses provided. More information on Instagram at weforwomen.ie. If your passion is journalism and storytelling, you can join Migrant Women Press, an independent media outlet created to give visibility to stories of migrant and refugee women, black and women of color, and women from marginalized communities. Juliana Da Peña is the founder, and you can find more information at migrantwomenpress.com. These were When Power Tips for Migrant Women. Now, let's continue with Rosemary's story.
How can our followers and support Dignity Partnership? There is something they can do to help you and support you, or to engage with Dignity Partnership?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot that people can do. It could come from promoting, just spreading the word of the work that we are doing. And most of the time we look for mentors or people to help us with the coaching. So we're in need of like expertise on different kind of like how to run business. So we would love a bit of like support with expertise. Like for now, we're looking for people to help us to do a freelancer session, just mm-hmm. to give people the knowledge of how to become a freelancer. We're looking for people to help us on how you can do e-commerce, e-marketing, all those kind of skills that the ones that we are looking for, and looking for people just to connect and even to do some kind of like maybe I wouldn't say placement at the moment because most of the things are closed, but to do some kind of like one-to-one to say, okay, this is how a typical day would go if you were to run this particular business. Like I would say, for example, if you're running a salon, mm-hmm. to have someone who has experience in owning a salon to just give, you know, the tips, the do's and the don'ts.
Hopefully someone that is listening to us will maybe get in touch with you to share their expertise and skills. That would be amazing. One last question. If there was an empowering message that you would like to share with our audience, what would that be?
What I would say is that I think it's time that we stop putting people in boxes. Because when you put people in a box, it limits their ability to fulfill their potential. So it's time that we recognize people's skills and strength. And, you know, what I experienced when I was living in direct provision, which is not bad, it's not bad, it's that people would come and offer material things, things like maybe clothes or something. But myself, I wanted maybe if I could be given that opportunity to do some kind of work, it could be volunteering. And then out of that work, you give me something. It can be now the food or the material things, the clothes. So ask questions like, what can I do to help you restore your dignity of work? What can I do to help you to contribute your skills into the society? As the saying goes, give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish and you feed them for the whole life. So like the charities and all the supports are good for an individual just to start off. But if someone is living, like maybe has been in the country for 3 years and all they're depending on is donations, and I think it's also dehumanizing that particular person. So it's not everyone who enjoys being a charity case. Some people could gain back their self-esteem when given the opportunity to be themselves and contribute their skills and exchange that for either the vouchers or exchange that for the material, but give someone something to do to make them feel valuable rather than them just being a charity case. So I know I've been rambling around.
No, absolutely.
All I'm trying to say is, let's not put people in one box. I do understand refugees and people living in direct provision, they are vulnerable people, but what does it benefit a vulnerable person to keep on reminding them that they're vulnerable? Why don't you try and find ways of taking them out of that vulnerability?
I totally agree. And I hope this message will make also our audience think about this and maybe what they can do in their little community or environment to change this narrative. So thank you very much, Rosemary, for being with us today and to share your experience, and continue to do the good job you're doing with Dignity Partnership and just continuing empowering people, because this is what we need. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Iraida, for having me. Thank you.
Thank you again.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. Please don't forget to share, follow, or comment. You can find all the data information shared with you today on the podcast notes at wempower.co and in the podcast description. A special thank you to all my colleagues, because without them, Wempower wouldn't exist. Anna Sukol and Monocat Production, Andres Gutierrez and AG Creative Content, Amina Sofia Almagrabi, our Italian correspondent, and all the freelance journalists that contributed with their stories. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. We will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring, and positive stories of ordinary women. Find us on Podbean and Spotify as Wempower Podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co to keep up to date with all the future projects. Follow us on social media at Wempower UK. Do you want to be part of the change and share your story with us? And do you want to be part of our next podcast episode? Contact us at info@wempower.co. Don't forget that together we empower women. My name is Ilaria Biancacci for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.